All right, how are you guys doing this evening?
Good.
Good. Are you kidding me? Oh. What was he doing with these? And a rock? What on earth? Okay, he was trying to make a rock levitate? Okay. Ridiculous. He wasn't able to do it, right?
No. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yep. He's Nope. I'm gonna talk to him again. No. Today he went and he talked to me and he said that he hurt himself. He had to get stitches from his deadly rope trick that he was practicing. Bad idea. I don't know why he possibly... See, I don't know why he's trying that deadly rope trick. Not a good idea, okay? Don't try that. Nope. I still need to talk to him, okay? He's got to stay safe and he's got to stay away, okay? Because, from himself, because he could hurt himself like he did today. All right, I got another announcement. Marcel, could you raise your hand? Marcel, yes. He beat me at Cowboy Connect 4 today. Let's give him a round of applause. Very well done. He's been trying multiple times. He's gotten so close, and then today he finally beat me. Good job, Marcel. And he's got his... That is true. At first he didn't know that he beat me, and I told him that he beat me. So that was really impressive. Really cool. And so come, challenge me, okay, and win that bounty. We've got one more full day, okay? I'll be out there during free time. Come see me out there and challenge me, all right? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's talk to God and let's ask him for open hearts tonight to listen to his word. If you're distracted, if you feel like you're closed off to God's word, this is now the time that you can pray and ask him for help to listen, okay? Dear God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to open up your word and take a look at what you have to say tonight. Pray for these boys and girls that if they are feeling distracted or if they are feeling closed off, I pray that they would choose to open their hearts, be willing to listen to what you have to say, and pay attention. Because your word is very, very important, and you want us to obey you. And I pray that this message would be applied by these young people tonight. God, I ask that you would empty me of myself, that you'd fill me with your spirit and give me the words to say tonight. I pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. All right. When I was younger, okay, starting in about third grade, I met my best friend. And we did everything together, okay? We played games together. We went to the same school together. We went to the same church. And, I mean, you name it, we did it together. Played sports, went over to each other's houses, had Nerf wars. It's not Steve, it's someone else. And we were like this close. How many of you have a best friend that you're just like that tight with? Yeah, like that was exactly like me and my friend. Really close. But when I started to go, or when he joined junior high, I was a year younger than him, he started hanging around the wrong people. He had friends that were bad influences on his life. And so he really changed, okay? What happened was when we were together and nobody else was around, he acted like my best friend still. But when anybody else was around, it was like he made it his goal to make fun of me and to put me down or to, you know, build himself up in some way. And that really hurt me. And then also he would lie to my face. He would just make up stuff and he would lie. And that... When someone does that to you, it hurts, but especially when it's coming from your best friend, the person that you trust, the person that you care about, doing that to you and hurting you like that, it was not fun. It was not a good time of my life. And what started happening was I started getting very angry. I had bitterness in my heart, started boiling up inside of me. And so when he would walk into a room, for instance, I would think bad thoughts about him. I would just think about how he treated me in a mean way. And I realized that my attitude was wrong. I had sin in my life. That anger and that bitterness was not okay. Just because he treated me like that did not give me an excuse to be angry. And so I had to go to him, and I had to confess the fact that I was angry, that I tried to get even with him, that I tried to be mean, and I asked for forgiveness. And then I also told him the ways that he had hurt me, the ways that he had lied and stuff, and then we made it right. I forgave him at that moment. And it wasn't that immediately everything was better, but that started the progression for our friendship to grow back. And we're not best friends to this day, but we are, by God's grace, we are friends. He was even in my wedding. And so God can do a great work in people's lives, even when they have poor relationships like that. Even when you mistreat someone, the power of forgiveness is strong, and God can help us with that. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the importance of forgiveness and how important it is for us to do that. So first, I want to talk about what forgiveness is not. Okay, there's lots of misconceptions about forgiveness. Lots of things that people say that I don't think are true, and the Bible would say otherwise. So first, what forgiveness is not. Forgiving does not mean excusing someone's sin. Lots of people think, I don't want to forgive that person because I don't want them to get off the hook. I don't want them to not receive the consequence for what they did. But boys and girls, listen up. If someone has hurt you in a very serious way, if it's been a serious sin like abuse, that is a situation that's very serious, and you can still choose to forgive, but that person needs their punishment. That person still needs to receive the consequences for what they did, but you can still choose to forgive. And if that's happened to you, if something serious has been done that's sinful against you, you need to find help. And here at Ironwood, the counselors and myself and your sponsors, we all would love to help you with that, okay? So come find someone to help you if that's happened, but you can still choose to forgive without excusing their sin. Secondly, forgiving does not mean forgetting, okay? Lots of people say forgive and forget, but the fact is, you can't forget lots of the things that people do to you. If it really hurts you, you're not going to be able to forget. But just because you still remember it doesn't give you an excuse not to forgive. You still need to forgive even if you remember. Forgiving does not mean that all of the pain will go away. It doesn't just, you make the choice to forgive and all of a sudden everything feels better and you'll never feel pain again. That's not true, but even if you have pain, you still need to forgive. And then four, forgiving does not mean that the relationship goes back to normal. Sometimes it does. If it's something like where you're playing on the playground with your friend and they call you a name, that's not very kind, but you could choose to forgive your friend and you could be friends immediately. Your relationship could go back to normal. But sometimes, if it's very serious, like what we talked about at the beginning, or if someone's been lying to you over and over and over again, that doesn't mean that you're just automatically going to trust that person, because there's been a history of lying. So sometimes the relationship doesn't quite go back to normal, but you can still choose to forgive. So now let's talk about what forgiveness is, okay? First, forgiveness means that you will not dwell on their sin. What I mean by this is that you're not going to go to that person and say, remember what you did to me? Because you did that, that gives me a right to be mean back. So I'm going to make fun of you because you made fun of me. That's not okay. And it also means that you're not going to go around to other people and gossip about them. That's also wrong. And so if your friend, you had a friend like me who made fun of me and lied to me, you shouldn't go around to other people and gossip about that person. That's not okay. Second, forgiveness means leaving justice up to God. You're going to say, it's no longer in my hands. I'm not going to try to get revenge. I'm not going to try to get back. I trust that God and the authorities that he's placed in my life will take care of it. So I want you to imagine that your soccer team had a big game, and you were playing in that game, and you guys lost. But then the whole rest of your team, they blamed you for losing. Because you missed a goal, or something like that. And that hurts, and so they made fun of you, and they blamed you for losing. That's not an opportunity for you to try to get back at them, or to try to get revenge. You need to trust God and say, God, I know that you will take care of it, and he will bring justice. Third, forgiveness means that you will seek to do good to them rather than evil. Again, this goes hand in hand. You're not going to try to get back at them. You're going to try to do good to them. So if you're at recess and your school bully comes up to you and punches you, okay, that's not okay. That's wrong. But that doesn't give you the right to punch them back. You don't have that opportunity. God does not want you to get even and get revenge by punching them back. That's not okay. If you forgive, you are going to seek their good. You still need to tell someone who can help with that. You could tell a teacher or someone that could help you. But that's not some way that you should just say, you punched me, so I'm going to punch you back. That's not okay. And fourth, forgiveness means that you will let go of any anger or bitterness towards them. So just like me in that situation, that bitterness that I had inside of me where every time I'd see my friend, I'd think bad thoughts, that's wrong. So I want you to imagine maybe you felt like your teacher embarrassed you in front of the whole class. And so you have that anger or bitterness. If you choose to forgive your teacher, you're gonna let that go. You're not going to dwell on that. You're not going to be thinking about that. That's what it means to forgive. So now that we know what forgiveness is, how many times do we need to forgive? Let's take a look at what Jesus says in his word. In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, one of Jesus' disciples asks this very question. It says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Peter thought that this was great. Like, he thought he was going above and beyond by saying seven times, because that's a lot. Like, if someone sins against you over and over seven times, that's a lot to forgive. But what does Jesus say? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, if you like math in here, 70 times seven is 490 times. But Jesus isn't saying you need to forgive 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way to 490 times. But if your friend is mean to you 491 times, nope, you don't need to forgive him. That is not what he's saying, okay? He's saying that there is no limit to how many times you need to forgive. We need to forgive every time. It doesn't matter what's been done to us. We're going to look at a couple examples here tonight. But it doesn't matter what's been done to you. You still need to forgive every single time. So now let's take a look at why. Why do I need to forgive? I'm going to give you two reasons why. I need to forgive because, number one, Jesus forgave all of my sin. Can you say this with me? I need to forgive because Jesus forgave all of my sin. Jesus, after he responded to Peter saying 490 times, or no limit to how you need to forgive, he told a parable about forgiveness. Remember, that's a story that means something else. So in this parable, we see why we need to forgive. There was a king over a huge land, and in his kingdom, he had many, many servants. And all of these servants owed him money, and he wanted to settle debts. So that means he wanted to get paid back from what the servants owed him. And one of the servants came before him that owed 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents was an old measurement, but that would be equivalent to millions and millions of dollars. So could you imagine owing, as a servant, millions of dollars to a king? There was no way
that he could pay that debt, ever. And so the king, he said, well, if you can't pay, I'm going to sell you, I'm going to sell your wife, and I'm going to sell your children so that I can at least get something. But that servant, he dropped down to his knees and he begged. He said, please, please have patience with me and I will repay you all. Now, of course, he couldn't repay, but he wanted to beg that king for mercy. And in that moment, the king decided to forgive him of all of that debt. He had compassion on his servant and said, I know that you owe me millions of dollars, but I'm going to let it go. You now owe me nothing. Wow. He's willing to forgive millions and millions of dollars. That's incredible. Well, then that servant that's just been forgiven, he went to one of his own servants and he said, hey, you need to pay up. You owe me 100 denarii. Now, 100 denarii would be equivalent to a few hundred dollars. Now, that's still a substantial, that's still a good amount of money, but that's nowhere near millions of dollars from what that servant was just forgiven. So he said, pay up. And that servant, he couldn't pay it then. So he said the very same thing. He begged for mercy. He said, please, have patience with me, and I will repay you all. And that servant, he got angry, and he took his own servant, and he threw him into prison. And he said, if you can't repay me, you're going to have to find some way to get my money, and you're going to stay in prison. Wow, that servant wasn't willing to forgive, even though he had been forgiven of everything. And so the other servants around saw what happened, and they went and told the king, and they said, they told the king everything. And that made the king furious. The king brought that first servant into his presence again, and he said, how dare you? I forgave you of everything. Millions of dollars, and you weren't willing to forgive your servant a few $100? You should have had compassion just like I had compassion. And that's what he says in Matthew 18:33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And that king, he demanded that he have compassion. So he threw that first servant into prison for what he did. Boys and girls, this parable, remember, it represents other things. So that king represents God. And we represent that first servant. Boys and girls, what we talked about on Tuesday night, about our sin, and about how that separates us from God, that is like the millions and millions of dollars that that servant owed. We could never, ever repay our sin. There's nothing that we could do to pay for that. But Jesus forgave us of everything. He was willing to come and die on the cross for our sins and pay for our huge debt that we could never repay. And so because Jesus forgave us of everything, we have the responsibility to forgive others. We shouldn't be like that first servant and go to someone else and not forgive them. We need to forgive because we've been forgiven of everything. And number two, I need to forgive because God has a purpose for everything. Can you say that with me? I need to forgive because God has a purpose for everything. This morning we talked about the life of Joseph and how his brothers hated him. They wanted to kill him, and then they sold him into slavery. That would be really, really hard. I can't imagine being in Joseph's shoes, having my own siblings do that to me. But we also talked about how he rose up to second in command over all of Egypt. He had the opportunity to get revenge from his brothers, and he forgave. And we're going to look at his response here tonight. In Genesis 45, 3 through 8, remember, his brothers came to him for food. They didn't recognize him. And this is what Joseph says. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please, come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me here, or sent me before you to preserve life." Wow. When I read this in my devotions, this really stood out. Joseph was able to forgive his brothers because he recognized God's perfect plan. Even though Joseph's brothers meant it for evil, even though Joseph's brothers sold him, God sent him there to save lives, to help people live, even though they could have starved. He recognized God's purpose. And then later, Joseph's father died. Jacob died, and his brothers were scared because they didn't know that Joseph, like they didn't know if Joseph was just holding back on revenge because their father was still alive. And we see once again Joseph's response. In Genesis 50, 19 through 21, it says, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." That's amazing. When he had another opportunity after his father died to get back at them, to get revenge, he could have put them to death. He could have sold them into slavery. But instead, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I trust in God's plan, and he meant it so that I could save people's lives." And then in verse 21, not only does he forgive, but he takes care of them. He says, "I will nourish you and your little ones, your children." And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. That's what forgiveness looks like, boys and girls. Someone could do something to you that's horrible, but you could still choose to forgive because God has a plan. You can still be kind to that person. You might not ever know why it happened. You might not ever find out like Joseph, but you could still trust that God has a perfect plan. He knows everything. He's in control. And what happened to you, you can forgive. And God can help you do it. So number one, I need to forgive because Jesus forgave all of my sin. And secondly, I need to forgive because God has a purpose for everything. Boys and girls, who do you need to forgive? Don't answer. You don't need to raise your hand. Think in your head right now. Is there someone that you need to forgive? Is there someone that you've been angry at or had bitterness? Chances are there is someone that you could forgive. Are you willing to forgive that person? Again, think in your head. Are you willing to take that step, make that choice to forgive that person? To say, "I'm not going to dwell on your sin. I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to be kind. I'm going to seek your good. And I'm no longer going to have bitterness or anger." So think, who do you need to forgive? And are you willing to do that and make that choice? If you could bow your heads and close your eyes, no one looking around. The only people that will be looking around are your counselors. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you'd say, "Mr. Andrew, as you were preaching, I thought of someone. I know that I need to forgive." If you'd say that you need to forgive and you would like to make that decision tonight, I'd invite you to just raise your hand. If you can think of someone that you need to forgive and you'd like to do that, I'd invite you to just raise your hand. Okay, and this next thing, if you rose your hand and you'd like to talk to a counselor about that, about how you can make that decision to forgive that person, I'd invite you to just look up at them, get up out of your seat, and go talk to them right now. Now's your opportunity. If you rose your hand, every head bowed, every eye closed, but if you raised your hand and you said, I need to forgive, I'd invite you to just look up at your counselor, and they can go out and they can talk to you about how you can make that decision to forgive. People are still moving. I'll still give some more time. If you would like to do that, if you'd like to talk to a counselor tonight about someone that you need to forgive, I'd invite you to just look up at them, get up out of your seat, and go make that decision. I'll give 30 more seconds and I'll just be quiet. But if you'd like to do that, you can talk to a counselor about that tonight. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much for your perfect example of forgiveness. The fact that we, in our sin, had a debt that we could never repay. But you sent your son, Jesus, to die for our sins, and you forgave us of everything. And I thank you so much for that, Lord. And because of that, we need to forgive others. I ask that these boys and girls who rose their hand or who know of someone that they need to forgive, I pray that they'd be able to make that decision tonight. Choose to forgive that person because that's what you desire us to do. God, we love you and we want to honor and glorify you with everything that we do, everything that we think, and everything that we say. I pray this all in your name.